Hello, y'all out there in podcast land. This is Tim Moore, and this is the Success Made to Last podcast, where we explore what it means to live the best version of you and where we talk with people who embody excellence. Today, we are talking with Dr. Ivan Mother of the great city of Austin, Texas. Ivan is the founder and chairman of the world-class business networking company, BNI. He has been called the father of modern networking by CNN and the networking guru by Entrepreneur Magazine. And he is the author of over 20 books, one of which he wrote with our pal Stuart Emery called Who's in Your Room? We are joined today as well by Stuart, whom you will have heard on our podcast before. And if you haven't, go to successmadetolast.com. Stuart will lead the discussion with Ivan today. Stuart, to refresh y'all's memory, is the former co-founder and CEO of Est, which was the first New Age self-improvement company. He is known as the father of the human potential movement, and he is the developer of the most successful ad campaign in TV history, the MasterCard Priceless Ads. Welcome, gents. And Stuart, take it away.
Ivan, good morning. You know, we're old friends, and so I'm just delighted to be doing this because, one, I always enjoy talking with you, and two, we probably won't get to it a little bit later in this podcast, so folks, stay tuned. You've just reinvented a face-to-face, small group, large group business to live in cyberspace and going on to even more success. So that's an astonishing thing to do with the world's largest business networking and referral business with over 250,000 members all over the globe. So that's an inspiration in and of itself. But so good morning, Ivan.
Good morning. It is great to talk to you, my friend.
Yes. Yeah, so I want to head this off with, I know there's great popularity, particularly in the United States, about, well, you've got to have a plan. You've got to start out by knowing exactly where you've got to go. You've got to start with the end in mind. And in my own life, I think life was being very kind to me, and success is what happened to me while I was making other plans. So I didn't have a grand plan. But I think for you, success has been serendipitous, and I think it's such an inspirational story. You know, and I appreciate your father made this great contribution to you where he said you definitely couldn't make a living using your hands as a manufacturing person. So
yeah, that was my father when I was 17. He called me out to the garage, and he could fix anything, my dad. He called me out to the garage, and he put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Son, you better go to college because you're never going to make a living with your hands." I'm like, "That's good advice, Dad. Thank you very much."
Right. So from that poignant moment, that's been kind, perhaps calling it poignant, you ended up starting BNI. So can we have like the Reader's Digest version of the story of your life up until that moment?
Yeah, sure. Listen, BNI is, I think, a classic example of necessity being the mother of invention. I had gone to lots of networking groups. I was a management consultant at the time. My doctoral work's in organizational behavior. And I had gone to a lot of networking groups that were just mercenary. You know, I'd leave these groups, and I felt like I'd been slimed, and I needed to get a shower because everybody was trying to sell to me. And I hated those groups. And then I went to other groups that were totally social. It was happy hour and hors d'oeuvres. Nobody was doing business. And I didn't like those groups. And so what I wanted to do was to form something, just one group, not 9,500, which is what we have today, just one group where we could get together and focus on business but not be transactional and have a relational environment but not be social, not just totally social.
I think that's a huge idea, so feel free to expand upon it when you say it's not a transaction and it's not social, but it is about relationships built to last.
Right, and the relationships are key. You know, one of the things I found was that people do business with people they trust. And so it's about building trust, and it's about our principal core value of giver's gain, this idea that if I help you, you'll help me, we'll build a relationship, we'll grow together. So I had this one group, and someone came. We take only one person per profession in BNI. And someone came who couldn't join, and she said, "Would you help me open up my own group?" And I actually said no to her.
Right. And she couldn't join because that profession was already represented in that group. Yeah.
And I said no. And she said, oh, come on. You know, this is, I said, I'm a consultant. I don't do this full time, this networking thing. And she said, well, this is kind of consulting. You're helping me build my business. Okay, fine. So we opened up a second chapter. Two people came who asked the same question. They couldn't join. And they said, would you help me open up a group? And at the end of the year, I had 20 groups. And I'm like, how the heck did that just happen? I didn't plan on that. And that's when it hit me that we don't teach this in colleges and universities anywhere in the world. And there was nothing quite like this. And the structure and the system and the education that we provided just resonated. And that's the necessity is the mother of invention. And BNI was off to the races.
I mean, that's just like a great story. It's a lot of companies get started to solve an owner's problem. And then suddenly they realize that they're solving a much broader problem and they can fill a need that lots and lots of people have, which is your case. So you have, did I get that number right of how many members you have worldwide?
Yeah, just over 270,000 members, 9,500 groups. Now, just so you know, last year we passed 12.3 million referrals to all of our members, which generated $16.7 billion worth of business for our members. Now, just so you know, Stuart, $16.7 billion is more than twice the gross domestic product for the country of Liechtenstein.
Yeah, and they're in the money there, so that's important.
It's a small country, but hey, that's pretty cool that we could do
it. It is very cool. And so could we have a definitive statement from you about what BNI is and for you why it's so important?
Well, it's a referral marketing platform for business professionals. It could be entrepreneurs, small business owners, or salespeople for large companies. And the purpose is to get together, build relationships, and pass referrals. Now, that said, there are a lot of ancillary benefits, particularly in this day and age where people need help, they need support, they need emotional support during the middle of the COVID virus. So there are many ancillary benefits, but the primary mission of the organization is to help people increase each other's business through referrals.
Right. Now, this seems a good segue because you've mentioned the C word. I am staggered that you're probably Zoom's largest client at this point. And my son, who's a polymath genius and data scientist, he has a friend who is chief technical officer on Zoom. And so he understands what Zoom's trying to cope with and what they're trying to cope with, you're partly the cause of. So would you just let us know how you took a business that absolutely shouldn't survive in the current environment and are turning it into a few more runs on a very impressive innings today?
Well, thank you. Put this in context. Imagine 9,500 groups of business professionals who meet face-to-face every week, all around the world. We literally have 9,500 meetings every week, 50 some weeks a year, a couple of weeks off for holidays.
And how many countries is that?
Over 70 countries.
70 countries.
And so we were all face to face, all of us, all of the chapters. And so luckily, I got to say, I have a CEO with BNI. His name is Graham Weimiller. And Graham was looking around a corner. Because he saw this coming back in January when the COVID virus hit China. And we flipped all of our chapters in China in January to online, an online platform. We use Zoom, but it's white labeled. It's got the BNI logo on it. And he flipped all of China back in January to online. And it's the beauty of it is it's the same meeting. We have the same process with the same things. People are introducing themselves. We have a speaker each week. We spend time where everyone goes around and passes referrals to each other. It's the same meeting, but instead of in person, it's an online platform. And in early February, he flipped Italy, and he started flipping other countries in February so that by March, the entire world, literally in weeks, we took 9,500 face-to-face meetings and put them all online. This could have been the most devastating thing that ever happened to our company, but making that flip to online saved us.
Well, I remember when you were discussing about the possible impact of canceling the national meeting that was scheduled to run in Denver. And I know you were you wanted to do it, but you didn't want to have on your hands the fact that some people might get sick and not be with us anymore. And you applauded the integrity of the CEO of BNI. And somehow you got this done. And that's just staggering because so many people are just devastated by thinking their existing business is gone forever. And in some categories, that's simply not the case. And that is not the case in the business, which is intrinsically face-to-face originally. That's amazing.
Yeah, and what we have are our members now meeting online, and they're talking about their needs, what challenges they have, what problems they have. They're strategizing for what they're going to do as soon as everyone's out of quarantine. And what we believe is that the members of our organization are going to be really well positioned so that when they are let out of quarantine, they're ready to run because they've been talking to their fellow members of their network and preparing for the day that they get to walk out. And that's really important. You know, I know somebody who's sitting in front of the TV 8 hours a day just watching the news. And he is totally and completely frozen in fear because the news, I mean, I know you and I have the same opinion of some of the news. It's right. All about fear.
Yes.
And so he is totally bought into that, and he's not preparing. His business is suffering. He's not preparing. He's not networking, going deep with the relationships he has. Or pouring into himself. Right now is a great time to pour into yourself. Create a business plan. Get online. Listen to podcasts like this. Watch experts so that when we are let out, we're ready to run. And that's what we're trying to do in BNI.
Ivan, you gave us a Reader's Digest version of the story of your life, but I'd like to refocus that story a little bit in this way. I remember doing a commencement speech at the John F. Kennedy University Business School. And I asked parents to shut their eyes. And I asked students to put their hands up if they had any idea of what they wanted to be when they grew up. I got two hands, which was, I'm glad the parents didn't see that, because having paid for their education, that would be very disheartening. But I went on to say, well, parents, I'll tell you what I saw. But here's the good news. Some of the great opportunities that your children will triumph in haven't even been invented yet. And in fact, they may be the inventor of one of these opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it along the way that you learned that allowed you to continually leverage this opportunity you didn't set out to create? I mean, that's what I love about the story. One, obviously you learned to recognize an opportunity when you saw one. But were these traits intrinsic, or were there a series of unexpected learning opportunities that you embraced to allow you to get the way you are today?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I was certainly, I had the educational background with a degree in organizational behavior. But scaling the business, there was a lot I learned as I went. I remember back in 85, 86, one of the first books I read was The E-Myth by Michael Gerber.
Yeah, I remember that book.
Yeah, and great book, and it talked about, the entrepreneurial myth and the importance of working on the business and not in the business. And I did a number of the things that he talked about in the book, like one of the things he said in there, and Michael and I are now good friends. I happened to be doing a radio show once, and somebody asked me a question similar to yours, and I talked about the E-Myth, and guess who gave me a call? Michael tracked me
down.
Was
he listening to the broadcast, was he?
He was listening to the broadcast, and he said,
"That's great. That's lovely."
And so Michael and I are good friends now. And one of the things he wrote in the book was, write everything down as though you planned on franchising your business and you were creating a franchise manual, even if you have no plan of franchising your business. And I remember vividly thinking, yeah, well, there's no way I'm going to franchise this. BNI is a franchise now.
Right.
I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to ever franchise this, but that's great. That's good advice, because teaching people is a leaky bucket process. If someone teaches me something, some of the information leaks out. If I teach someone else, more information leaks out. So if you have everything written down, it helps to stop the leak. And so he said, write everything down. And I did. And sure enough, about 5-6 years into BNI, I thought, you know what? This franchise thing is it's not a bad idea. And we started franchising in the early 90s. So that was one of the first things I learned.
So a couple of other big lessons.
Yeah. So one of the things, you know, part of what I learned in college and something I didn't, one was, you know, when I talk to business people about the importance of setting goals, it's like watching a bobblehead doll. You know, they're like, yeah, I know goals are important. But I don't think people really understand. You can't hit a target you're not aiming at. So you got to have targets. And I recommend three levels of targets. And this is something that I wasn't taught in school, but three levels of targets. High level, which is, you know, dancing on the roof. You know, it was your biggest dream to be able to hit that this year. Your actual target goal. And then what I call the floor. If you can't hit this number, you might think about going into a different business because this business isn't for you. And I'm talking about a normal year, not a year where you have something like the COVID virus, but on a normal year. And then here's the important part. You got to reverse engineer your goals. So if you
what
have
does that
a,
mean? Okay.
Well, so whatever your number is, let's say you have a target for December, the end of December. What's your number at the end of November, October, September, August? So you reverse engineer it. What's the number you have to hit by the end of January? And what happens is I see a lot of people, they set goals and then they set them, you know, on a shelf. And it's like 3 months in and they go, hey, how am I doing on my goals? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm way off. You know, they don't even think about it. So you got to know your numbers. That's really important. You got to know your numbers and you got to reverse engineer your goals so that you know how you're tracking on your numbers on a monthly basis. I could tell you the exact number of members we have per day. I get a daily report. Today's report said 270,552 members. So I get a daily report.
I mean, that's great because I said earlier in the broadcast that, you know, I didn't set goals like this. But the truth is, I think once I was in a business, I did because, as Tim pointed out, I was one of the founding members and the first CEO and the first trainer in Est other than Werner Erhard. So I was conducting trainings all over the world and running the business that was on its way to $40 million in dollars 30 years ago. Yeah. So that was a lot of money to
That's
get
big
to
money.
A couple of years. Yeah. So I
can
had
I give you one. Can I give you one more? Because I think there's an important one that most small businesses really screw up. And that is this. You want to be successful in business, do six things 1,000 times.
Yes.
Not 1,000 things six times.
And I agree with that. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Business people, they're always chasing bright, shiny objects. And they're trying one thing after another. What you have to do is pick a hand, and it doesn't have to be six, it could be five, it could be seven, but it's a handful of things, and you do them over and over and over again. Now, what five or six things? Well, you know, you should have mentors. If not, a real-life mentor, virtual mentors. We talked about virtual mentors and who's in your room. You should have mentors. Trust their advice. They know what they're talking about. They've been there. So take their advice, narrow it down to a handful of things, and do those things 1,000 times. Stuart, if I have any superpower at all as a business person, it is that I am a dog with a bone. I just hang on to something and work it and work it and work it until I get what I'm looking for.
Yes. So what single trait? So you talked about you get an idea, you're like a dog with a bone. But we have this podcast channel called Success Made to Last. And Tim and I did a book called Success Built to Last. We couldn't quite call the podcast that. We wrote it with Jerry Porras, called Mark Thompson. Jerry Porras is Professor Emeritus of Organizational Change and Leadership Development at the University Graduate School of Business at Stanford. And so we looked at the traits people had. And like a dog with a bone, to use your metaphor, traits that they developed and hung on to over the years. And it was like a basket of these traits. So if you look at yourself, what would you say some of those traits were in addition to dog with a bone?
Well, I think, you know, many of the core values that were created in BNI were based on traits that I felt would lead to success for business people. One of our core values is lifelong learning, that you need to be a lifelong learner, that if you're not constantly sharpening your axe, it's going to get dull and you're not going to be at the top of your game. I think that's an important trait for successful business people. I think the idea of building relationships, that it really is about building relationships with other people. The sum of the whole is greater than the individual parts. And so when a group of people get together and work together, when everyone in an organization is rowing in the same direction, that organization can dominate any industry at any time. And I think one of the reasons that the BNI has dominated this industry is that we have a really clear mission and a really clear core values in the organization. And those core values, you know, to a large extent were core values that I thought were important, like accountability, recognition, positive attitude.
Well, you know, I'm surprised that, because when I'm with you and you're with your people and you ask them what's the fundamentally core idea / core value of BNI, they always know what it is, and you haven't given it yet. But I remember.
I did say in the beginning, two words. Right. Go ahead. Yeah. You tell the story.
Giver's gain.
Giver's gain, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, when we cycle back to that, that's so powerful. And I watch, you know, you talk about all the other things that you talked about, Ivan, and I get that they're all important. But when I watch somebody on a deep, almost primordial level, on a deep cognitive and emotional level, grasp, get, as we say, the notion that givers gain, that changes their life. Because the moment they start to live as though it were true, they find out that it is true. Because I tell people, you may not believe this at this moment, but would you be willing for 30 days or like whatever it takes to start a new habit, maybe 30 to 90 days, depending on your stubbornness. But would you be willing to live for 30 to 90 days as if that were true? And with giver's gain, if people practice that for 30 to 90 days, they will find out, sir, that that is absolutely true and will change their life and the community around them. And yeah. At this moment in time, that's a big deal. Always been a big deal. But in the moment of fear and a pandemic, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it really is. And I think what happens, you could go to any chapter anywhere in the world, any one of the 9,500 groups and say, hey, what's the principal core value or what's the philosophy of BNI? And you're going to hear the whole chapter say giver's gain. It's probably the most important of the core values.
How did you come up with that? How did that happen? It's like the Prices campaign. How did it happen?
It was something that I used in the second year of BNI. I talked about having the people had to be loyal to one another and support one another, and it was just too complex. And so that two-word phrase, giver's gain, just kind of said it all. So using that, incorporating that concept into BNI was good. But I'll tell you what was even better was trademarking it.
Yeah. There is that.
That was really good because it's, you know, for networking organizations, we're the only ones that can use that. So here's something important about the concept of giver's gain, though. It's a standard that you have to apply to yourself, not a stick that you hit.
Say more.
Well, I meet people who are really quick to say, well, they don't have a giver's gain attitude. And what's really interesting is that when the person that says that, generally, they're the person that I think don't really have the giver's gain attitude. And so they use that philosophy as a stick to hit other people because they're not getting something they want. You know, it's like the old adage, somebody who's pointing a finger at you has three fingers pointing back at them.
Yes.
And it's the same concept. So giver's gain, you know, don't worry about what other people do. Now, don't get abused by people that are takers. You have to be conscious about this, but for people that also believe in that attitude, it's about giving without expectation and it'll come back around to you.
So I remember that, you know, we kind of knew each other. I were on a board together and, you heard me give a talk. The first talk I gave was in Los Angeles. It was the first talk of an organization called the Association of Transformational Leaderships, the LA chapter. And I did a talk called Who's in Your Room? And that really landed with you to the extent that we ended up writing a book together by that title. So tell me about why did that land with you and how did it impact your business and your life?
Well, listen, I love that concept. Uh, the The idea was, in fact, something I heard you speak on, and it hit me because, you know, I've written a lot of books on networking and business and success. I hadn't done a self-development book, and I heard you talk about this concept that the people in your room, you know, make all the difference in your life. The quality of your life is dependent on the people in your life. And I thought, this is BNI. This is about your network. Even though it's not about networking at all, it is in the sense that if networking is about relationship building, then this book is all about relationship building, which is in effect about networking. And so I see it in BNI groups. I see a BNI group that has a couple of anchors in it. And in the book, we talk about anchors versus engines. And there's a couple of anchors in the group, and they just bring the entire chapter down. And the ones that are the worst are the engines, are the anchors with an engine attached, and they're just, you know, going straight to the bottom and pulling other members down with them. And so for me, it's about finding people that are all engines that help drive you forward rather than pull you down. And that's what really resonated with me when you talked about who's in your room. And I'm so glad you were willing to do the book together.
Right. And then I talked about in that talk about some people you just go get out of your room. I mean, it's a pity you left them in, but they're in. So now what are you going to do about it? Then you thought about somebody you let into your room you wish you hadn't, and you figured out ways to make a change, and it saved you a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. When I heard you talk about that, I went back that week, and there was an individual that was running an incredibly expensive project that we were doing, and it was a disaster. And I knew he had a lot of drama. I knew it when I hired him, but I figured I could deal with him. The problem was I didn't realize that other people either couldn't deal with him or didn't want to deal with him, and he was creating chaos, and he was in charge. And so I literally, after I heard that presentation, I went home and fired him that next week. And the project turned around almost immediately. Immediately it turned around. And it is just another example of why you want to surround yourself with the right people. You know, finding the right people is important, especially if you're new in business. Here's something I tell new business people. Ignorance on fire is better than knowledge on ice.
That's good. I like that.
You know, if you're looking for employees, if you're looking for people to come to work with you, you probably can't afford the knowledge on fire because they're going to make the top dollar, and you're a small business. You may not be able to afford them. So look for the people that are ignorance on fire. I mean, I was the poster child for ignorance on fire when it came to networking. You know, you like to use a phrase which I've co-opted. I method acted my way through the process of networking because I didn't know what I was doing. You know, the very first meeting of BNI, I was the youngest person in the chapter. There were about maybe two dozen of us. And I was the youngest person. I remember the very first meeting, I said, okay, well, what do you guys think we should do? And they looked at me and they're like, what? We thought, you know, you knew how to do this. Like, well, you guys are all successful in business. They were all more successful than me. And I said, well, you guys are really successful in business. And they go, well, yeah, but you're the business consultant. So I'm like, okay, all right, let's talk a little bit. And then I came back with a strategy for the second meeting because the first meeting, I didn't know what I was doing. So ignorance on fire. If somebody's coachable, if they're willing to work with you, if you can coach them and guide them, I'd much rather hire somebody who's on fire that's coachable than somebody who's really knowledgeable, but they just don't care. And you got to look for that when you're bringing people into your team.
So now you've figured out how to keep BNI flourishing and thriving in a time where the world economy isn't exactly doing that. And so that's a remarkable achievement. But I'm sure that a topic of conversation in the virtual meetings these days is how do individual business people keep their businesses flourishing, dare I say thriving, at a time when most of the world isn't. What do you have to say to people, or what are people telling you is working for them?
Well, I think, first of all, don't focus on the negative. The negative will find you easily enough. Don't search it out. Don't be sitting in front of the news for 8 hours a day. Don't sit idly by and let this unfold in front of you. Take action. You know, I'm telling my members, I tend to see two groups of people. There are those who get frozen in fear and those who get focused by fear. And it's time to get focused by fear. Look for ways to innovate, add value, stay connected with people, do something, don't do nothing. If all you do is focus on a problem, you become an expert at the problem. However, if you focus on solutions, you can become an expert on the solutions. And a pity party is not going to help them. I know, I've thrown them. When it's over, I'm in the same situation, but I feel worse. So no pity parties. I'm telling my members, look, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know that we can influence it. We may not be able to control it, but we can influence our future. And so I've been talking to BNI members and to others. Many organizations have brought me in on Zoom to talk to them. And, you know, I'm talking to them about how do you work from home? Because a lot of people have never really worked from home a lot. Trying to give them the details on working from home. How do you activate your network? What do you do to activate your network? Some of the things are, you know, do a lot of online face-to-face meetings, one-to-one. Yes.
Something I add for people is, as I go around the world, you know what my thing is, talking to people who are world-class at doing something they love to do, and the field doesn't matter. And I talk to people who feel emotionally they're thriving in times like this, and they're using the opportunity to find online learning tools to hone their craft. I've always believed if you're really, really good at doing something you love to do, then you'll always have security.
True. And I'll tell you this. We have a platform on BNI called BNI University, which is just for BNI members. And the hours on BNI University have doubled during the quarantine, which, you know, just makes me really proud to see, you know, so many of members of the organization are in fact doubling down on their education. And they're doubling down on doing online face-to-face, digital face-to-face meetings, talking to people through Zoom, Skype, or GoToMeeting. And I think one of the things that they need to do is they need to ask people, how are you doing? So really, you know, and how can I help you? What can I do to help you? And, you know, I was doing an interview, true story, sir, just last week I was doing an interview on a big radio show. And on air, the host said, oh, that old phrase, that doesn't work anymore. And I'm like, well, actually, you don't have to use that phrase. You can use a different phrase. But, you know, asking people how you can help them is really powerful. And he's like, yeah, I don't think so. And then we went off to another subject. When we got off air, we were talking a little bit off air, and I said to him, so let me ask you, what other experts are you looking to interview? Because you do a great job in an interview. And he gave me some topics, and so I gave him a couple of big names, one of which we know real well. And he said, oh, my goodness, you know them? I said, yeah, I know them pretty well. He said, would you be able to introduce me? I said, yeah, absolutely. So I sent an email to both of these people. They responded in the same day. And I gave him their email, and I said, okay, these guys would love to be on your show. And he wrote me back, and he said, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I said to him in an email back, I said, and this is another way to say, how can I help you?
Yeah, I was waiting for that shoot.
And he wrote back and said, touche.
Yes.
But I wrote him back, and I said, no, it's not touche. It's just to show that people really are willing to be helped if you ask them in the right way.
Yeah.
And when you do that, then you make a bond that it's a force multiplier for relationship building.
So it's, I really believe that BNI is a very important force in the world. So how would you like people to find out more about you, and people are not yet members? How could they, in this day and time, get a taste of what you're about? Because I can't go to a meeting, obviously.
Well, they can.
Okay.
We have visitors coming to BNI Online. As a matter of fact, we have more visitors than ever because, you know, you don't have to get out of bed. Well, you have to get out of bed, but you don't have to get in a car and drive somewhere. You can do a networking meeting in sweatpants, and nobody will ever know.
Right. So if somebody wanted to do this, how would they go about accessing and embracing what it is you have to offer? How would they do that?
So they can go to BNI.com, and on BNI.com, there is a section on find a chapter. And you'll want to find a chapter that is near you geographically, but right now none of them are meeting face-to-face. But they are all meeting every week online. So just find one that's in your general vicinity and go visit. It's a great time to actually be doing something as opposed to sitting around playing games and watching TV.
So if I understand that correctly, in this environment, it's possible for people to do this and actually join a chapter, maybe even start a chapter. And is there a way for them to access BNI University in the midst of all of this?
Yeah, as soon as they join, they're automatically a member of BNI University, and all of the content, we have thousands of hours of content there, including videos with John Maxwell and I talking about leadership. And many, many other things that you can only get on BNI University. And yes, people are joining. I had somebody email me and someone sent me a message on LinkedIn yesterday saying I just joined online. What a great platform. And then I had somebody ask me to do a video because they just kicked off their chapter. They'd been planning to kick off in, you know, for the last 2 months, and it happened to be this week. And they couldn't meet, but they kicked off anyway online, and they asked me to send a congratulations video, which I was happy to do. So yeah, we're still, you know, it's a blip on the radar, but we're still helping, providing value to people. People can still join.
So if I think I understood what you just said. You're telling me that people in the midst of all of this could go to BNI.com and they actually could end up having started a successful business for themselves as a BNI leader while they're on lockdown. Is that what you just told me?
They may not be able to start a BNI. A BNI chapter is started by a BNI director. So we have all the directors in place. There are some areas where we don't, but you can start a chapter under the guidance of a BNI director who has a territory.
Perfect. Well, that's starting a business. That's great.
Yeah, so whatever business you're in, you can support that business through the online program.
Well, Tim, I know you're on the line there somewhere. When were we planning to release this to the globe?
Well, we were going to talk about that after we were on this podcast, but it's probably 2 weeks from now, depending on a couple of factors that we'll discuss off the phone. 2 weeks from now is the week of April 20th, and if that's too quick a turnaround time given our schedules, certainly the week of April 27th.
Right. Well, we're coming up against a hard stop here, so we're at the 40-minute mark, and we have a few minutes here. We could just wrap things up. What would you like to leave us with, Ivan?
Well, I think one of the most important things I've learned in 35 years of running this organization is, you know, the expression, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's either. I don't think it's what you know or who you know. I think it's how well you know each other that really counts. And it's not just having names in a database. The question is, if you have that name, if you picked up the phone and called them, would they take your call? And if you asked them for help on something, would they say yes? So it's not just that you know them, it's how well you know them and how well they know you. And I think that networking is more about farming than it is about hunting. It's about cultivating relationships with people, relationships where you have the confidence to ask for help and they have the confidence to ask you for help. And together, it's like, you know, it's like twigs that you bind together are much stronger than a twig by itself. It'll break, but if you bind 50 of them together, it's unbreakable. And so that's what a network is. It becomes unbreakable. And if you create it within the cultural context of really healthy core values, because I believe what Drucker said, that culture eats strategy for breakfast, that if you create that culture in an organization, that organization can do miracles. And that's what I've seen done in the past, and that's what I see done today. One last thing. Anyone who wants to, I've got a blog, ivanmeisner.com. Been blogging for 14 years there, so a lot of free content up there for anyone that's interested.
Well, Ivan, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the airways and the blogosphere. And this whole idea of podcasting is relatively new to me. I know you've been out for a while, and so I'm just thrilled that people who listen to the Success Made to Last podcast get access to your content. And I was thinking, I was listening to this, there's more nuggets of actionable information in this talk. I mean, it was like overload. So people have to go through this and make notes to search out the nugget. But I think my favorite that I hadn't heard from you before was right here at the end when you said, you know, people say it's not what you know, it's who you know. And you said it's not either. It's how well you know who you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's spectacular, because in the shelter in place, with everything slowing down somewhat, you have a special opportunity to move from a transactional universe to a relational universe. So you can use this time to hone how well you know who you know.
Yeah.
And to build that bond of kindship and kindness and caring. I call it kindship sometimes, because that's kind of what it is. It's a kindship. That's what a good friendship is. And so I think that's just a great moment that you left us with there. So once
well,
again, thanks.
Let me leave you with one other one that I think is also timely.
Oh, wait, there's more. Yes, got it.
If you wait.
Oh my God, wait, there's more. Begin the night.
Because I think this is great with the COVID virus going on. If you wait until tough times are over, your business will be over. Mm-hmm. So you have to take action now.
That's very good. All right, Ivan.
Stuart,
thank you so much.
I want to jump in as you're ready to close and ask you guys to do one more thing, and it's beneficial to both of you. I'd like you to talk just a little bit more about the concept, the base concepts, and who's in your room, to give the audience an opportunity, one, to learn what it's about, and then to give the audience the opportunity to go buy what I think is a great book. Who's in your room? The secret of creating your best life. Oh my goodness! The tagline is almost the same as the tagline of this podcast.
Oh, and what a nice coincidences!
Yes, it is, Stuart. But not only talk a little bit about the concept of who's in your room, but the concept of the doorman. And you know, take a few minutes to do that, because I think it's a great book, and I think that people, you know, should go and buy it. You know, and I don't have a dog in that race. So go ahead, either of you or both.
Thanks, Jim. How about I talk about the concept and you talk about the doorman, Stuart?
Okay, that's perfect.
So imagine you live your life in one room, and that one room has only one door. And that one door is an enter-only door, so that when people come into your room or into your life, they're there forever. You can never get them out. Now, luckily it's a metaphor, but if it were true, if you're listening to this podcast, if it were true, would you be more selective about the people that you let into your life? Well, most people say, oh yeah, I'd be a lot more selective. So our question is, then why aren't you? Because we believe it's not a metaphor. And here's why. If you're listening to this podcast, I want you to think of someone right now that you got out of your life. Got them out of your life. But I want you to think of them, and I want you to think of what they did to you, why you were so angry with them. You got them out, but you were angry, and I want you to think about what you did, and I want you to think about those feelings that you have right now. Tim, are you thinking of somebody? I'm not going to ask you to say who, but are you thinking of somebody?
No, sure.
Oh, not only was I thinking about somebody, well, while Stuart and I were developing this book, and I ended up leaving Pearson during its development, Stuart was giving me advice about a particular somebody that I needed to get out of my life.
So if you're thinking about somebody, they're still in your head. And if they're still in your head, they're still in your room. And they will be there forever, because those experiences leave an indelible mark on your brain. We interviewed Dr. Daniel Amen, and he said their fingerprints will be on all over your brain for the rest of your life. So they're still in your room, and that's why it's so important to be more selective about who you let in, which is a perfect segue to the doorman.
So I was remember watching the movie The Bodyguard, and I got bullied a lot when I was in boarding school, and I forgot which had a bodyguard. And as we're thinking about this who's in your room concept, I thought, well, people need a bodyguard or at least they need somebody at their door of their room. Like if you want to get into a club, there's bouncers in front of the room. Well, that's a little bit draconian. But if we were a little more refined about it, it could be a doorman, so that nobody gets into the room of your life without announcing themselves by the doorman. Now, here's the doorman. The doorman is this imaginary person, this virtual entity. And perhaps if you can remember when you were a kid, you might remember that you had a special imaginary friend that you had really good conversations with and you really felt they had your back. Well, this is your doorman. Your doorman is that person. It could be a doorwoman, of course, but let's say it's a doorman. So you let this doorman know what really matters to you, the kind of people you want in your life, the kind of people you want in your room, and you want people in your room who support your dreams, who support you living as the best version of yourself, who support you being the best you can be. And they also can say no for you. Sometimes we have trouble saying no. So I have a story about my mother-in-law, and I'll tell it again. I mean, she just turned 99. But my mother-in-law was very, very good at shooting on people. You should do this, you should do that, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. And I thought, you know, I wish she wouldn't shoot on me whenever she gets on the phone. So I told Doris about the doorman principle and about who's in your room. And it's a favorite book, you know. We had to, I printed one out in large type because she has trouble seeing now. But one day she got on the phone and I said, Doris, you know, I love you. I love to talk to you. I love to laugh with you. But I really don't like it when you tell me what to do, what I should do, what I shouldn't do. And I know you think that's what mothers are supposed to do. Even mothers-in-laws are supposed to do for their children-in-law. But if you keep doing that, my doorman will hang up on you. So she lunged back in again, so I hung up the phone. And she called back. She said, did you just hang up on me? Doris, I would never do that. But my doorman did, and she just started laughing, and that transformed the relationship. She got it. And so, you know, I can say to people, well, I know you can't say no to somebody, but you can say your doorman won't let you do this. And I actually say to people sometimes who know the book, they'll say, well, can you do this? Well, you know, I can see why you'd like me to do this, but I consulted with my doorman. They said, nah, mate, that's not on. You're not doing that. So my doorman speaks Australian, obviously. So it's a great metaphor, and you need a doorman. Buy the book. It's a simple little book. You can read in a couple of hours. You'll regret that it isn't longer in these times of lockdown, but you can get it, and you'll love it. Thank you.
Well, that was great, guys. I appreciate that for yourselves, frankly, because it is a great book. Once again, out there in podcast land, it's Who's in Your Room, The Secret to Creating Your Best Life. Stuart, we've been talking like this for 20-something years, and it's so great to be talking with you and sharing it with other people. Ivan, you and I have had 3 or 4 of these kind of conversations as well, and it's always insightful, and you guys are both great. I hope you all out there in podcast land enjoyed this podcast. Remember to go to successmadetolast.com to register for our newsletter, filled with what I think is fun information about our future guests, and great stuff in general. And go to your podcast distributor, iTunes, Spreaker, etc., and rate our show, please. Till the next time, go out there and live the best version of you. Cheers.
So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program.